I thought I would speak about a different kind of topic this evening. Coming up next week, Tuesday or Wednesday, is a once-a-year calendar, Vedic calendar special, auspicious day. Not so prominent in our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, but certainly a Vaishnava, in our Vaishnava calendar. Chandan Yatra. And it falls on Akshaya Tritiya day. So I wanted to discuss a little bit about that. What is that? I mentioned the other evening the passage of time is something that it's elusive, but it never stops. And Prabhupada uses this nice word, inexorable. You ever heard that word before? Inexorable means it doesn't stop. Like time, like the tide, it doesn't stop. The tide comes and the tide goes, but it doesn't stop coming and going, it continues. And as the path through the passage of time, it's described very nicely in two chapters in Kapila Dev's teachings. Time is actually eternal, as the absolute truth, Krishna, is eternal. But the eternal brings about temporary things, and he does so through the agency of time. That's a deep, long, fascinating subject matter. But as Krishna is eternal, and time brings things into being, and time destroys all things. And it keeps moving. While we're sitting here, time is passing. We don't see it passing, but time is passing. And it's bringing things into being and destroying things. I was I mentioned this, but I saw one just after Ram Navami. So Ram Navami comes on the ninth day of the waxing moon, and some days after the ninth day of waxing moon, we had such a wonderful celebration, Ram Navami celebration. So it was very fresh in my mind. And then some days later I saw it, looked in the sky, it was a full moon. And I was thinking, wow, it seems like Ram Navami just happened, but Navami, Dasami, Ashtami, Navami, Dasami, Akadasi, Dasami, Triodasi, Chaturdasi, and full moon. And I looked on the calendar, it was a full moon. And that comes after the full moon is the waning of the moon. So 3 days after the new moon is the Tritiya. And Akshaya Tritiya is this Chandan Yatra. So it's coming up. The moon is becoming less and less. And most of us don't pay attention to that. We have to look at the calendar and see, you know, what is Akadasi and what is the full moon and those kinds of things. But Vedic life was calculated throughout the whole year based upon those kinds of considerations. An agrarian-based society, unlike our industrial-based society of today. Agrarian-based society could predict when is an auspicious time to do anything. To begin a journey, to have a wedding, to plow your fields. So Akshaya Tritiya in Orissa is when they do their plowing of their fields. The first, because it's an auspicious day, and you begin things on an auspicious day. It's an auspicious day because 3 days out of the year, both the moon and the sun are particularly bright, or their maximum combined brightness. And Akshaya Tritiya is one of them. And I don't know enough about astronomy to say why this is, but it's considered especially prominent or presided over by Vishnu. It's the day when Parashuram made his appearance on that particular day. And because of its auspiciousness, it's a day when a number of very wonderful deity worship functions take place. Some of the devotees, we were together in Puri, and Madhavananda was with us for this day. He was describing on that begins a 21-day festival on Akshaya Tritiya, and they take the deity, they take their particular Shiva Lingas in the Jagannath temple, and they bring them out on that day, have a big festival for them in front of the Jagannath temple, and that's right on the Grand Road, and they put them on palanquins. It's the Pandava Mahotsava. They're honoring the Pandavas, and what Vadavananda described is they take, for each of the 21 days, there's a different lane that they travel to get to Nandan, to Narendra Sarovar. And so for those people who live on that particular lane, it's the highlight of the year for them, because they decorate, because the Pandavas are coming, and they make offerings and flower decorations, and you know, they go all out. And every year they try to do better than the previous year, and like that. And then they bring them to Narendra Sarovar and ceremoniously place them in boats. And they travel in boats throughout Narendra Sarovar with musicians and festivities and traditional dance. And it goes on until very late at night, and then they bring them back in procession with musical instruments. And then they go out the next day and do the same thing, a different lane, and different set of people having their day. And every day, 21 days. Commencing with the auspicious day of Akshaya Tritiya. Then another, during our South Indian Yatra assembly, that was at the beginning in Puri, and towards the end, a little bit further was a visit to Simhachalam. And anyone here has been to Simhachalam? It's a very nice temple, Achalam, way up on the hill, and Simha Achalam, the hill where Lord Nrisimhadeva is worshipped, or Varaha Nrisimha is worshipped. And on this day, the Akshaya Tritiya day, is the one day for 12 hours that you can see the deity not covered by chandan. There's a very nice history connected. The deity was a self-manifesting deity going back to previous yuga when Lord Nrisimhadeva killed Hiranyakashipu, but he killed Hiranyakashipu because Hiranyakashipu was trying to kill Prabhupada. and Lord Varaha, as Varaha Nrisimha, half Varaha, half Nrisimha, rescued Prahlad Maharaj. And then he rested on a hill, and he was in a very, very, very angry mood. He assumed a deity form, it's a long description, where some time later in the yuga, one king, along with a celestial maiden, were passing by, and Nrisimhadeva indicated to him in a dream that he wanted him to worship him. So he created the temple, and he worshipped him. And 1 year later, he said, "I'm still in a very angry mood." So he gave him the instruction to cover his body with chanda. And to this day, they follow that procedure. Something like 12 kilos of chanda. Maybe it's more than that. Four times a year, it comes to 48 kilos of chanda. That's a lot of chanda. And the deity is small, so caked, and more chanda, and more chanda, and more chanda. The ceremony is the day before Akshaya Tritiya, that they stop the darshan at 6 o'clock, and everybody is asked to leave. And just the priests themselves, and there are some very privileged individuals, they get to remain, and from 6 o'clock until 11 o'clock at night, they have a very special ceremony. I heard about this from one devotee who somehow was invited to participate, so he stayed up all night long. They go until 11 o'clock at night, and then with mantras and special prayers and special. And then at 1 o'clock in the morning, everyone leaves except the brahmanas, and they then start removing this 48 kgs of chanda. And it's considered a great honor if you can get some chunk of that chanda. Somebody gave you one of the pieces of that chanda. And then at 3:30 in the morning, they have 1,000 kalashas on Akshaya Tritiya, and they bathe the deity. And you know, the head priest is the first to bathe, and then different personalities, 1,000 different personalities get a chance to come and bathe the deity. And when they're bathing the deity, they're getting direct, intimate, close darshan of the deity. And that goes until the evening time, from something like 6 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock at night, and then everyone is to leave. But the line, I was told, is like Tirupati, you know, it's forever. It goes for miles and miles and down the hill and down the hill and down the hill. People wait all day long. They're lined up from the previous day to get in line and just picnic until they can go take darshan of the deity. And then they close the deity, darshan, at 6 o'clock, and then put 12 kgs of chanda around the deity. That's it. Once a year. An Akshaya Tritiya. There are other astronomical or astrological calculations that say it's on that day that the Ganga descended from the spiritual realm through the heavenly region to this earthly realm on Akshaya Tritiya. And so bathing in the Ganga on this particular day is very auspicious. In our ISKCON centers, particularly in Vrindavan, because those of you that have been to Vrindavan will know that when it gets to be mid-April, it's unbearably hot, right? Unbearably hot. That's when the Gurukul gets out. And you know, they go home, or they go to the Himalayas, or they do something besides staying in Vrindavan. And that's mid-April. And by the 24th of April, that's when the date is this year, it's unbearably hot. So the deity is completely covered. Shyamasundar is completely covered in chanda. Like head to toe, completely covered in thick chanda. And there is darshan, wearing shorts. So hot. For the day. And then they bathe the deity, plunge the deity at night. I looked for it and I couldn't find some verification what the astronomical calculation says to see if I could find something in Prabhupada's writing or in our Acharya's commentary about the Sudama Brahman story. But it is said that that took place, his visit to Dwarka took place on Akshaya Tritiya. And there's a reason, because it's all kinds of auspiciousness takes place. Akshaya, just like Akshaya Patra, it's the pot that was awarded to Draupadi so she could have unlimited cooking until she took, and then the pot would not supply anything more. But she could just imagine. Cook the Sunday feast. Just have one pot. And just don't eat. Just, you know, be Draupadi and just keep serving to everybody and the pot stays full. In our central New Jersey temple for Gaur Purnima, I don't know how it happens, but they get almost as much attendance for Gaur Purnima as they do for Janmashtami. They had planned, they didn't plan that way, they planned that they would have something like 700-800 people. And instead they had 1,500 people coming for their Gaur Purnima event. I don't know how many people you get here, but that's a lot of people for one, not Janmashtami, it's Gaur Purnima. Anyway, so if they had such a pot, you just keep serving it and just keep serving it and serving it. Doesn't become less. So that's the day that Sudama went to see Krishna with his little bag of inferior quality broken rice tied to his dhoti. And when he came before Krishna, Krishna looked behind his back. What are you holding, Sudama? You have something there? And he was embarrassed and didn't, because he's in Dwarka, the place of all opulence. And what does he have to offer to Krishna but some crummy rice, broken, inferior quality rice? But Krishna snatched it from his hand and started eating. Ate once and ate twice and Rukmini grabbed his hand, saying, "Don't take any more. How will we repay Sudama if you take more?" Krishna smiled and Sudama left, with feeling very happy. We're discussing this during one program, but feeling very happy, going home back to his place, thinking, Krishna is so kind. He knew why I came. And he didn't even ask me, why is it that you've come? Because he knew that if he gave me what I came for, I would just become proud. Oh, I am very special. Krishna is very fine, kind upon me. He's given me such nice reciprocation, such nice opulence. Krishna is very kind. He didn't give that to me because he knew that I would just become proud and foolish. Krishna is very kind. And he was walking home in that room. Except he didn't find his home. Instead of seeing his home, he saw a big palace marble palace with jewels on the outside, and leading up to the gateway of the palace. And he called his wife's name, and she didn't come. Some other lady came, dressed instead of in a simple one cloth, very, very fine garments and ornaments, and she didn't even recognize his own wife. It was his wife. So one of the maid servants that was there to assist her came and said, "That's your wife." "Oh, that's my wife. What happened?" She, the wife, thought he must have asked Krishna, and Krishna reciprocated. In Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, he says that even Sudama, instead of being old and bedraggled and thin, emaciated practically from having nearly nothing to eat, his body became very young and effulgent, lustrous, beautiful. Just like that. Just like magic. Like Krishna and Kuncha. Instead of being hunched back in three places, she became very straight and very beautiful. Just like Krishna's touching under her chin and under toe and lifting. One finger. You can lift Govardhan Hill with one little pinky, and you can do that with Kuncha. I mean, didn't even touch Sudama and his wife, and they became transformed. And according to one indication, this whole pastime took place on this very auspicious day, Akshaya Tritiya. In fact, same source says that the day that the Akshaya Tritiya was given was on Akshaya Tritiya, so that Draupadi could take care of the service that she had to perform. In Puri, in addition to the festival, with the 21-day festival, it's the day that they begin the construction of the cart for the coming Rath Yatra. In April, they begin the cart that takes place in July. It's a big cart. April, May, June. It's a whole big production. You know, which trees will become the trees that become the cart. There's special Brahmins that make that decision. There's special Brahmins that cut the tree. Special Brahmins that fashion the parts of the tree to make it into the timber that makes the cart. And so they begin the construction of the cart on that day. Very special day. Another indication is that the beginning date for Ganesh writing down Mahabharata was on the Akshaya Tritiya day. So it's a very auspicious day. Again, from an astrological calculation, you begin things on an auspicious day. You don't begin things on an inauspicious day. In one part of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's biography, it describes that he didn't travel. He had some opportunity. I don't follow this. I just have a different program. But he would not travel on a Thursday afternoon. No. He's a transcendentalist. So what does a transcendentalist have to do with auspicious and inauspicious? But he wouldn't travel on a Thursday afternoon. He would stay put and travel the next morning at daybreak if there was some circumstance like that. So auspiciousness is considered, it's not the ultimate determining factor, but it's considered when undertaking something important, like the installation for Panchatattva, for example. The whole procedure was 3 days of installation and they selected when it would be done, not just based on, it was at the time of our GPC meeting, but they selected an auspicious day to begin, and you begin at an auspicious hour, early in the morning. Brahma Muhurta, they would begin the whole procedure early, early in the morning. Traditionally, Vedic yajnas were done like that. So, in our line, in our Gaudiya Vaishnav line, at least to my knowledge, it's not given the same prominence. Akshaya Tritiya is not given the same prominence as in other traditions, because, in part, because in our tradition, that which is the recognition by Vrishatani is in this age of Kali, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, everything is inauspicious. Kaler Doshan Hey Rajan. This age of Kali is an ocean of faults, an ocean of inauspiciousness. But amidst this inauspiciousness, there's one good thing. He asti eka mahan gunan kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sanda puranda jit. When the Krishna Balaram deities were installed in Vrindavan, I was there for that. It was a very amazing event. Prabhupada was very keen on having the installation of the deities accepted by everyone. So he invited Vishvambhara Goswami, who was the leading personality amongst the Goswamis of Vrindavan, in part because he was in the line of Gopal Bhatta Goswami at the Radharaman temple, and was very, very learned and very, very experienced in deity worship, as Gopal Bhatta compiled our literature on deity worship and gave it to Sanatana Goswami and said, "You put it together for publication." So, Vishvambhara Goswami organized the other Goswamis of Vrindavan to perform the installation, and that way they couldn't say, "Oh, you did things wrong," because they did it themselves. Very clever. And they selected an auspicious day to commence, and I watched them assembling things. I didn't know, I still don't know so much, but I knew less than why, but they put things very carefully, calculated which way is north, which way is south, east, west, and then that's where the pit, or the place where the yagya installation was being taken. A certain height above the ground, with different colored flags and different corners, you know, precise. And the way that the Vedic yagyas are to be formed, there's some persons that know the mantra, there's some persons that know the procedure, there's some persons that know the meter that is to be chanted and so forth, and there's one person that's the referee, in case there's any discrepancy. And if there's any discrepancy, they have their Brahmins huddle and decide, you know, what's the way to do it. They go back to the point where they had no discrepancy and then commence again. So it's flawless, that's at least the idea. In the age of Kali, you don't have things that are flawless. You have things that are flawed. So they kept backing up and having to hug their huddles. And on the side, because that took place in the sunken area, in the middle of the Krishna Balaram Mandir floor, and on the side, there was 24-hour kirtan. And the part that I played was the Gundicha Marjana part. We had buckets of water and threw the buckets of water up onto the ceiling. This is, you know, before the yajna began, to make things completely cleansed, you know, hoses and buckets, and then we got all the water out and we did it again. And it was ecstatic before the yajna. So then part of the kirtan, I was in Prabhupada's quarters one afternoon, because that was the schedule. He had darshan in the afternoon. And he was asking for a report, how's the yajna going? And the devotees were describing. And Prabhupada's comment was, he made some comment that I can't remember the detail about the discrepancy in this age of Kali. It's practically impossible to have a flawless yajna. And if there's even one mistake, the effect is diminished or neutralized. So he said the real auspiciousness, because the yajna is to create the auspiciousness for inviting the deity to come, or Krishna to come and reside within the deity, the Pran Pratishtha ceremony, the auspiciousness is created by kirtan. So for us, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the auspiciousness of holy days is further sanctified by kirtan. It's just like we find in nectar devotion, the description that's there about the Ekadasi. I remember in the very early days, we didn't have nectar devotion, and Prabhupada introduced observing the Ekadasi, and Prabhupada was asked, are we observing fasting on the Ekadasi because of an austerity to neutralize the sins that we have made, or some inauspiciousness for the day? And Prabhupada laughed and said, no, because it's an auspicious day, we're fasting and increasing our hearing and chanting. We're diminishing bodily activity and increasing spiritual activity deliberately by some vrata. So we do some kind of a fast, and there are different degrees of fast that one can do, but minimally observe fasting from beans and grains. And the other part is most important, increasing hearing and chanting. And it's not to neutralize something bad, it's to take full advantage of something good and auspicious days. And Vishnu Tattva appearance days, we also observe half day fast, and then to hear and chant about that personality who has appeared on that auspicious day. So Akshaya Tritiya is very much like that also. It's a day of Lord Vishnu, commonly thought of in that way. It's most auspicious day, and it's a good day to commence spiritual activity, ideally, and even for those that are not so spiritually minded, it's a good day for other things. So it's an auspicious day, good day to buy gold, or good day to commence something. And it continues to bring auspiciousness into one's life. But the platform of devotional service itself, just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Shubha Ashubha Palaya Eva Moksha Se Karma Bandhanai, that the devotional service or activities where sacrifice unto Vishnu is performed itself is beyond the consideration of auspicious and inauspiciousness. In it itself is the essence of auspiciousness. So just like today is an Ekadasi day. So some kind of minimally fasting from beans and grains we observe. And increasing our hearing and chanting. I thought I would take a few minutes and describe what's the story behind Ekadasi. Why is Ekadasi so auspicious? I think it's Brahma Vaivarta Purana gives the following description. When Lord Brahma had completed the creation, he stepped back, as anyone would do that has some undertaking that's very important. And he considered how did it come out, like Vyasadeva did after compiling all the Vedas. He stepped back from all the Vedas and considered how did it come out. So Brahma did the same thing with creation. And when he looked at creation, he thought, this is very, very bad. There's so much unnecessary pain and suffering and misery. It's what's called for in creation, because people want to try to enjoy independently from the Supreme Enjoyer. And there's no such thing as enjoyment independent of the Supreme Enjoyer. And so what that situation is dark. And unnecessary suffering, so many miseries of life. Adiyatvaka klesha, adibhautika klesha, adidaivaka klesha, and so much suffering, unnecessary suffering. What to do? He was feeling very bad that he had created this thing that would give so much suffering. So he approached Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu gave him the following blessing or benediction. Let there be this very auspicious day, twice each month, on the 11th day of the waxing and waning moon. This will be a day where all sins can be eradicated if one properly observes a Akadasi day. So Lord Brahma was very happy. It's a very, very auspicious day. But then Papa Purush, or sin personified, came exasperated to Lord Brahma and said, what have you done? You created this day that will destroy me. You created me, and then you created a day that will destroy me. That's not right. You have to give me some shelter on this Akadasi day. So it was determined very well. Sin personified, you can take shelter in beans and grains. So those who eat beans and grains, lots of people do that on Akadasi day. At least from scripture, we can know that there's sinful reaction or sin personified. And therefore, devotees should very carefully avoid minimally beans and grains on the Akadasi day. But because it's such an auspicious day, take advantage. We need all the help we can get. Take advantage of increasing your hearing and chanting. It's good to have some kind of vrata that you do on the Akadasi day to increase the number of rounds or increase your commitment of reading on those Akadasi days, reading scripture. Something that's going to elevate your consciousness further. And this is how Vaishnavas observe as auspicious days, and especially Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Increase our chanting and hearing of topics of Krishna. So, those are some thoughts to share with you about this. Auspiciousness, and specifically auspiciousness of Akshaya Tritiya or Chandan Yatra. Any comments or discussion on this? Shorter class than usual. Yes?
So, you describe about Sudama. So, the Sudama, when he went to the Krishna, and he discovered when he was eating the second time. So Krishna is the pool. So if he's a pool, then why the Rukmini was thinking how he can pay back, and she hold the hand immediately, and because the Sudama was very he didn't need those things, but his wife sent Sudama to go because she didn't have 5 days food to eat. So
I'll repeat his question because I'm sure you can't hear it.
So the Bhagavad describes that he was very calm, the Sudama, but he was not asantosh.
He was not?
Asantosh means like,
he was not.
He was fully satisfied. But the sastra
describes.
Yeah, but his wife, the men are like Daridraha. Daridraha. Astu asantushtaha. So who is the daridra? Daridra means?
Poor.
Poor.
Poor is different, but daridra is
poverty.
Yeah.
It's so, very poor.
Yeah. So.
As in daridra Narayan.
Yeah. So he is not daridra, but he can be like poor. Daridra is something different. Like just
extremely poor.
Yeah. So, he have a Krishna in him. So, who have a lot of money, he is making a lot of money in one day, and he not satisfied, that person is a daridra. Like it's described in Bhagavatam. So, his wife said to the Sudama to go there because he didn't have food 5 days. Even before he said, even doesn't have
food. I'm not being able to repeat your whole question, it's too long. We have another microphone. But he's asking about the first part was, why did Rukmini check Krishna's hand if Krishna is Purnam? Krishna can supply anything because he's Purnam. So why did Rukmini think, oh, it'll be difficult for you, Sri Purnam, to supply, to take care of, to reciprocate. Rukmini certainly knows that Krishna is. Krishna certainly knows. That Rukmini certainly knows that Krishna is unlimited, but it's her lila. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds something in this regard. She says that there's so many. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Something to the effect that in the palace there are so many persons. And how will we supply enough for all the persons in the palace from this little bag? Something like that. Of course, Krishna can make a little bag endlessly supplied. There's this limited, because Krishna is unlimited. But he's speaking like that, thinking, Krishna, how are we going to care for all of our citizens that are expecting? If you're taking, they'll want remnants, and there's not enough. Something like that, he says. It's a lila between of love between Rukmini and Krishna, and appreciating that Krishna reciprocates with the love of his devotee. It wasn't exactly, obviously, the rice, the inferior quality rice, unfit for someone of Krishna's position. But Krishna is accepting the love. And the love of Sudama is so strong. How are you going to reciprocate with the love of Sudama? Like that, not just the rice. We're appreciating indirectly the degree of intensity of love of Sudama for Krishna. Does that help? Okay. Yes.
Thank you, Mark. You mentioned that there's a deity of Varaha Narasimha, right?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
What does it mean? Half Varaha, that the upper portion of his body, his head, looks like that of Varaha. and the rest of his body looked like that of Nrisimha. And the explanation, one explanation that I heard, is that Simhachalam is very near to the ocean, and at that time, the mountain that the servants of Hiranyakashipu pushed him off the mountain of was into the ocean. And Varaha is the deity that rescued earth from the ocean, so Varaha came from the ocean. But because it's Prahlad, it's also Nrisimha. And thus, the deity looks half, when all the chandan is taken off, and you can see the deity, half Varaha, half Nrisimha. Yes. Yes.
So, but when one reads the rules and regulations of the Tarasi, it's very difficult to follow, almost impossible. So how much we can follow and still...
According to your capacity. Different persons have different capacity. What's your capacity? And then you do that. Minimally, no beans and grains. But there's other procedures of fasting up to nirjal. And that can extend, you know, from the day, the evening before, and then extend to the next morning after. That's technically how it's done. But some persons don't have that capacity. Some persons imitate those that have the capacity, and they have a big problem. We had a bhakta that tried to do that. We found him in a walk-in refrigerator the evening of Ekadasi. He had offered things and was eating this. It wasn't realistic for him to do a full fast. But according to our capacity. Is that all right? Is that what you're asking? So the standards are nothing. And then breaking the fast, drinking water. Breaking the fast, taking fruit. So minimally, not beans and grains. Prabhupada explained, let me say something about this with Gaur Purnima in Mayapur. According to Hari Bhakti Vilas, actually, the fasting in Gaur Purnima should go the full night long until the next morning and then break fast the next morning with grain. Prabhupada recognized that his followers didn't have the capacity to do that. And so, when the moon rise took place, that's when the Ekadasi break fast or feast was served. And then large feast the next day. That's actually the way it should be observed. Full fast, all night long, through the night, into the next morning, and breaking fast with a feast the next day. That's Bhakti Truswami describing what Hari Bhakti Vilas actually says. But Prabhupada made an adjustment because we didn't have the capacity. Okay, that's an example. We discussed yesterday, Nirkaraham Upanyum Jitaha. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukram Vairagya Uchate Anasakta Shivishayan Yatkarham Upajunjitaha. So Yatkarham means basically same thing that I just said, according to what's practical, as much as you can. Be free from attachments. Cultivate like that, in other words. That's the process of bhakti. Anupurnina, Krishna Anushimana. We cultivate that. progressively as we make spiritual advancement further and further. Something else? Yes, Aditi. What's that?
Off topic,
fantastic. How tall is the Empire State Building? Prabhupada was once asked the question, Swamiji, it's said that a guru knows everything. So can you tell me how many windows there are in the Empire State Building? Swamiji? And Prabhupada's reply was, how many drops of water are there in a mirage? Even without a blink, that was his answer. Okay, so here's your off-topic question. Go ahead. Your friends were doing what? Okay.
Why?
Why what?
They worship the Son of God when they worship God.
Well, through the Son they can know who the Father is. At least that's their hope or faith. But when they hear who God is, they go, oh no. God can't be like that. He can't look like that. He can't do those things. So that's unfortunate. But that's how they can do what they do. There's some faith that through the representative of God, they'll come to know about God. We have that faith. It's, you know, the reservoir of knowledge, the treasure of knowledge, is far more rich within the Vedic wisdom. So where there's detailed descriptions of God and various forms of God and the original form of God and so forth. We have that. So they don't have that. They're working with what they have. Well, aside from them, how do you convince anybody? The answer is shabda praman. You know the meaning? Praman means evidence, and shabda means sound. Shruti praman, shabda praman. But through the scripture, that's the authority. And so, but they don't have faith in Vedic wisdom, Vedic knowledge. They have faith somewhere. And why they don't have faith in the Vedic wisdom, Krishna answers that in Bhagavad Gita. They have, according to the modes of nature, they have faith in something. Other than have faith in Krishna, they have faith in something. So, how you can best help your friends have faith in Krishna and have faith in the scriptures of that speak about Krishna, the best thing you can do is be a good example of ideal character, and this is what happens when you have faith in Krishna. Ta-da! Aditi is a wonderful example of Krishna consciousness. They'll go, wow! Just like how we had faith in Krishna, those of us from the West, from Prabhupada. And who we know what Krishna was, or who Krishna was, or Bhagavad Gita, or anything. We knew Prabhupada. And that was, you know, he said, Krishna's God. Fantastic, Krishna's God. By his purity, his example of Krishna consciousness. Yes.
Just to add on, in India we do celebrate, in this context, we do celebrate for 21 days.
Oh, really? 21 days? Where?
Delhi, Vrindavan, Mayapur.
21 days?
not full chandan in Delhi on weekends and festivals, but in full chandan.
Fantastic. Fantastic. It's hot. It's hot in the dark. It's hot in Delhi too. 21 days. And is that from, I'm not knowledgeable, so is it from Pai Bhakti Vilas? You don't know.
From the story of Mahavendra Puri.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
In the calendar says Chandan Yatra's continuation for 21 days.
Okay.
Small,
huh?
Then Sudama was going
Are you making an indirect announcement here? Everyone take note of the hundi box, please. And if you either bring a bag of fruit or some grains or put something in the hundi box, please. Something like that? The vestige of that, when I was small, even in America, was we would bring an apple and give the apple to the teacher. Out of, you know, just, I didn't know where that came from, but, you know, or some flowers. You know, a little boy, I learned that one. My parents taught me that one. So, you know, some cookies or something. The respect. That's all I understood, is just respect the teacher and offer something nice to them because they're nice. They're helping you. You know, the deeper meaning is something else. I didn't understand that. You know, but say the culture over the Brahmins are to be maintained by those who they're receiving service from. Those who they're giving service to, I should say. Hare Krishna. So find your most broken rice and bring it to the temple. For Krishna. If you have the love of Sudama, you can do that. Okay. Anyone else? Yes? There are karma kanda of rules and smarta brahman rules and things like that, and there are such rules that we don't place such importance in, but when I was a new bhakta, there were two things we didn't shave on the Ekadasi day. You know, we didn't know anything except what came from Prabhupada, so you know, that's something that perhaps, that I didn't hear it directly, came from Prabhupada. But the understanding that I was working with was, you minimize the necessities of the body and maximize activities in devotion to Krishna. Direct. So cutting of nails and shaving and cutting hair, and those are things, it makes sense, you know, from a principle base, those are things that you don't do. Or minimize them and maximize hearing and chanting at least. Now for our preaching, that's what I did initially. But then I also started not following that because our mission is a preaching mission. It's just like a chaturmasya. Outside of ISKCON, where there's not so much preaching, they don't shave for the whole chaturmasya season and observe certain rituals and so on. Ours is a preaching mission, and so we don't observe those pratas, we increase our preaching. And we shame because the audience that we're dealing with is not India, this is the West, and people don't understand that austerity of not shaving. So we have clean shaven. That's the practice that I personally adopted, and the reason why. So what's higher is the value of preaching. So if one can observe, back to this question of what standards of fasting we might observe, those, whatever austerities or fasting or something that we are observing should be in a lower position than preaching. So for Ekadasi, for example, we shouldn't, this is my recommendation and instructions of others that I associate with. On Ekadasi day, you can increase chanting. You can increase your austerity of not eating or fasting some other level. But your preaching shouldn't diminish. You become so weak you can't preach. That's more important than these other considerations. Okay. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki
jai. Sorry,
this is from Prabhupada Swami Maharaj ki. Is this prasadam, Ekadasi prasadam?
Yes.
There's some Ekadasi prasadam I'm supposed to.